Okay. As Helene mentioned, I will be discussing the importance of community health workers in the global effort to eradicate onchocerciasis and the need for continuous funding and support for community health worker trainings. So I didn't incorporate a slide, but I don't have any relationships to talk about. This study was made possible through a collaboration of the Kundea Community Health Partnership, the District of Soraya, and the Senegal Ministry of Health. Our work was conducted in the township of Soraya, here, in southeastern Senegal, in the township of Hosanto, located right here on the border between Mali and Guinea. So just a note, permission was granted by the local government health team to present this information to you today. So the purpose of my presentation is threefold. First, I'd like to present the importance of ensuring continuous funding for community-directed mass treatment programs using ivermectin in the eradication of onchocerciasis. Second, to describe ongoing efforts of onchocerciasis control in an endemic area. And last, to share a cost-effective intervention with implications for success in various settings. So onchocerciasis is also known as river blindness. It is a parasitic disease of the skin and of the eyes, and it can cause severe itching, dermatitis, and depigmentation. And this occurs when the adult worm dies in the body. There's an immune response which causes this intense itching, which alone, in fact, accounts for 60% of the disease burden. So this response can destroy nearby tissue, eventually leading to vision impairment and blindness if left untreated. So as seen here, the parasite is transmitted to humans through the bite of infected black flies. As depicted in this image, when an infected black fly takes a blood meal, larvae enter the wound, and when they mature, they reproduce in the body, living up to 14 years. They breed in fast-flowing rivers that are well-oxygenated, such as the Falame River shown here. Hosanto Township is right on the border of this Falame River, and you're actually looking from the Senegal side of the river over to Mali. So as depicted in this table, the global burden of onchocerciasis is estimated to be approximately 389,000 dalis. 375,000 of those are in Africa. However, there are also reported cases in Yemen and isolated areas of Central and South America. So vector control has been used as an intervention, but it hasn't been found to be very effective. So annual ivermectin distribution has become an accepted practice. And this has really been made possible by a donation by Merck to the African Program for Onchocerciasis, which has provided ivermectin free of charge to African governments. And so ivermectin is used, it's an antiparasitic, and it kills the adult worm. So in terms of control, the Onchocerciasis Control Program for West Africa was started in 1974. It lasted until 2002, and some successes are that infection was prevented in 40 million people, blindness in 600,000. It ensured 18 million children were born free from the threat of disease and prevented, saved 1 million years of productive labor. So in 1995, the African Program for Onchocerciasis Control began. And this was initiated because there were remaining concerns that without continuous control, there would be a reemergence of the disease in the remaining 11 endemic countries, shown here in blue. And you can't see the mouse, right? This is Senegal here. There. Okay, so the African Program for Onchocerciasis Control started community-directed ivermectin treatment programs, which occurred at the community level and incorporated community health workers or other community leaders, which could be teachers. Even I've experienced postmen doing these supervised distributions. And they were the ones who administered ivermectin at the community level. So the ivermectin is administered as an oral dose. It's calculated according to the weight of the person receiving the dose with 150 micrograms per kilogram. So since it's impractical to be weighing men and women and children in a field setting, dose poles are used. So in Soraya, for example, we have bamboo sticks, which are cut down and then demarcated, so they show a specific height with a corresponding dose amount. So since 1995, more than 120,000 communities have used this approach or are currently using it. So today, there are actually 37 million people who remain infected with onchocerciasis, even though it's considered eradicated in many areas, and 99% of all incident and prevalent cases are in Africa. So this really indicates that continuous control efforts are needed so we can maintain where we are today. So the motivation for our work in Senegal, in Soraya in particular, stems from major cuts in funding in 2008 for Senegal's onchocerciasis program, and this limited the government's ability to continue funding community health worker trainings and monitoring in the district of Soraya. So already by the end of 2008, there were government reports that there was reduced coverage rates by as much as 60%, and there was anecdotal evidence coming in that community health workers were actually prescribing incorrect doses of ivermectin. Either they weren't correctly using the dose pools, or they had lost them, or they just weren't using them. So in the health district of Soraya, there are 97 villages, which is serviced by just one district health center. So the district really does rely on community health workers for a lot of their community outreach. So we began our data collection with preliminary interviews with community health workers. We wanted to see why coverage rates were dropping and if, in fact, incorrect doses of ivermectin were being administered. So first, we performed interviews with community health workers and then with government health team members. We observed ivermectin distribution, which you can see occurring in this photo, and we administered kind of just pretests to assess community health worker-based knowledge. So some of the major problems that we found were that improper doses were in fact being administered, especially to children. Most of the time, children were receiving too much ivermectin, which can be a problem because they were actually running out of ivermectin in villages where they were given a specific amount in terms of their population and told to use it. In addition, it was being administered to pregnant women, which is not an advised practice. And entire households were being missed, and they weren't being recorded, so no one was going back and making sure that they got the household when someone was home. And finally, there were actually high rates of community health worker absenteeism, and this was due to two problems. First, there was a lack of motivation on behalf of the community health workers who saw that the government health team was no longer invested in their community, and they decided, you know, if you're not invested, why should we be? And secondly, there were also increase in gas prices at the time. And community health workers were told, you know, to get on their own motorcycles and visit the most distant villages, and they really just couldn't afford the travel cost. So each of these findings contributed to incomplete coverage. There wasn't one that we could say was the main problem. So we concluded that it was underfunding and disorganization of community health worker training that resulted in both confusion during community distributions and an overall lack of motivation on behalf of the community health workers. So in response, we worked with government health team members and community health workers to design an effective intervention. It was really important to the community health workers that it really come from the community because they are the ones who make this program work. So we held a retraining session for community health workers working particularly in the Hosanto Township, where there is the highest risk of onchocerciasis reemergence, as it's on the Falume River, and there was the highest rates of households being missed. So it was attended by 25 community health workers. There were 23 males and 2 females, which is pretty typical in terms of health workers in the area. And it was led by the government health team's director of primary health care service. And this was a really important aspect of the training because it showed that the government health team was, in fact, very invested in the community. So lunch was provided for all of the attendees, which is also very important. And they were reimbursed for travel costs and received a small motivation of 2,500 CFA, which is about $5. And this was for attending the training and also under the expectation that they would complete their distribution tasks. So the entire training was at a total cost of 70,000 CFA, yes, or about $140. And so this is pretty cost-effective intervention, especially because if ivermectin is being given free of charge to the governments, it's I think it's like 58 cents is the per person rate cost for an intervention, so an additional $140 is a pretty cost-effective training. So the training was consisted of first a pretest of the knowledge base. It was very participative in nature, led in both French and the local language of Malinke. So this worked to increase comprehension of the community health workers, but also it showed a respect of the local culture by the government health team. There was then a post-training evaluation of the lessons learned. And to further and reinforce the information, community health workers were sent out in groups of three, accompanied by one member of the government health team, and they performed trial runs within the community to just show how it would work. And so finally, and almost most importantly, they were provided with tools, including notebooks, pens, distribution checklists, and these demarcated dose sticks, which really helped improve accuracy and record keeping during the intervention. So the results, the more immediate results we found were that the involvement of the government health team really improved relations with the community health workers and the community in general, and there was an overall improvement in the knowledge base of community health workers. Furthermore, there was a greater utilization of the tools, which led to increased accuracy and correct administering of ivermectin to women and children. And also record keeping was improved, which allowed analysis of the records to see who was being covered, who was still being missed. So through analysis, we found that with just one training, coverage rates actually increased by up to 40% in 2009. So in conclusion, community-directed mass treatment programs work. They're a really wonderful initiative, and they've been working for the past 30 years. However, achieving uninterrupted ivermectin coverage through these programs really depends on effective community health worker involvement and continued training and monitoring. So without sustainable and adequate funding and regular and effective training of community health workers, these campaigns will not have the success that we've seen. So thank you very much. And there are my resources.
I just wondered if you could say more about the observed community trial that you did as part of the training.
Right, so the community health workers actually have been doing these community trials, so it was really just to see if they were utilizing the tools that we had given them, because the government health team really wanted to form a way that they could analyze how they were doing. So what households were being missed, what households were being accessed. So what was observed was kind of if they were using the tools correctly, and they had to go through and measure every single member of the household. And what often happened was they would see a woman and say, oh, well, my wife is about 5'4", so this woman's probably 5'4". So they would just give her without really asking, you know, are you pregnant or how tall are you, so that kind of thing. So it was just to be thorough. And because they're doing this every year, and a lot of these community health workers are 60, 65, they've been doing it forever, they know the ropes. So they kind of just, you know, got into their swing of things and didn't utilize the tools as the government had wanted. So.
Have you been trying to assess the effectiveness in terms of preventing reinfections?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there haven't been new infections within the 2 years that there's been inadequate funding. So that's a great thing. There are prevalent cases, but there haven't been any incident cases. So it was kind of with the fear that, you know, another year or another year after that, when the adult worms are really building up within the body, that's when the infections would occur. So it was in hopes of avoiding that. So so far as I know, I got back to the States in August, but I haven't heard of any incident cases, so.
And for how long are you supposed to continue the treatment after the last case was reported?
You know, that's up to the government, so I'm not sure. They're still continuing their eradication efforts. So until ivermectin stops coming in and the government says we're totally eradicated, then it can stop, but not the foreseeable future.